Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And this week I'm featuring guests from the film The Dunning Man. I've been out and about covering the Cinequest Film Festival, and I was fortunate to be able to talk to some of the people involved with this film in the foyer of the iconic California Theatre in San Jose. And the film had its world premiere at Cinequest and was very well received. And it's very interesting, I think, how many people are involved in making feature films, or even short films, but you know, especially feature films, when you stay at the end, as I always do, and watch all the credits roll. I mean, it really is quite amazing how many people are involved, how many people are employed by feature films. And so I was very happy to be able to talk to the director, producer, music contributor, cinematographer, and editor to do with The Dunning Man. It's really giving us an idea of what it takes to make a good film. So next I spoke to Tom Kemp, who's one of the lead actors in the film. So let's hear my conversation with him. So I have Tom Kemp with me now, one of the lead actors from The Dunning Man. Firstly, can you tell us a bit about the character that you play in the film?
Uncle Bishop is James, the lead's uncle, and raised him from the time he was in high school when my brother and sister-in-law passed away in a car accident. He's an old-school Atlantic City. He is knows everybody. Everybody knows him. He may be attached to the Philadelphia mob. He may not be. And as I insist in the movie several times, I'm Irish. How could I possibly be attached or connected, as they say? But he might be. Don't know, but he knows everybody. Yeah. I really was very attracted to Uncle Bishop because he's very similar to a lot of the people I grew up with. I've not been in that world, but I've been in one similar. And when I read the screenplay, when they sent me the script, I said, oh, I know this guy. You know, he's somebody that I really identified with. He's got a sense of a moral compass. It may be a little skewed, yes, to everybody else's perception, but to Uncle Bishop it makes sense. And he likes to do the right thing. Yeah. He wants to do the right thing. But he's also, like Atlantic City, he's a struggler. You know, it's not easy for Bishop. He's a building contractor. He has guys working for him, and he's trying to just put one foot in front of the other and been able to do it. But he's a working stiff with some knowledge. Yeah. And
so how do you go about embodying a character? What's your process for that?
I try to find the part of me that is closest to Bishop, to any character I do. I've been fortunate to have some roles like that, you know, where I can really identify with it. Otherwise, I've been a character actor for almost 40 years, you know.
I was going to ask you that. How did acting become your art form? How did you choose to get into that?
Well, yeah, you know, the quick answer is I got my degree in theater from Northeastern University and just went on from there. But I did a lot of theater for reviews and not much money, and I drove a cab at the same time. But once it really like kicked in and I started doing film, that's where I really found my love. I loved that process of acting on film, and so I've been judges, I've been priests, I've been cardinals, I've been lawyers, I've been Irish thugs, I have been actually even played an Italian thug, you know. So I've played a lot of different roles, like grandpas now. I used to be the husband, you know, but now I'm the grandpa. So my career is, I've been very fortunate. I've worked with most of the great directors, you know, Woody Allen and Oliver Stone and Martin Scorsese and a lot of people, and it's and more than once, which is always a good sign.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, yeah, I've covered the waterfront, as they say.
Yes.
And I'll be in the next season of House of Cards, which was a lot of fun to shoot. So.
Yes. Well, I really liked your character in this film, The Dunning Man. I think all of the characters very subtly had or reflected how nobody's black and white. You know, there are always shades of gray. Yeah.
I think that was the strength of it. I think, it went from the fantastic to the real and gritty, in a very believable second, I thought. It was one of the nice parts about this movie. It's interesting because as a character actor, and I usually leave a movie and then I don't see it until it's in the theaters or or show on television. But this one turned out to be one that I've been associated with ever since we shot it, because the post production took a while and there were things that we had to work on, and I was able to recommend people, you know, to Kevin to maybe fill in some gaps for him, and so he would keep showing me the cuts as we went along, you know, and the rough cuts, and the rough cuts got cleaner and cleaner and cleaner until we got a really nice edit and a really nice form. I think it was a crowd pleaser, you know, and I was really pleased to see that. But I think my character, I think Uncle Bishop really adds that groundedness to the whole thing, the seriousness of it. You know, you can be bouncing off the walls and you can be all this crazy stuff, but Bishop is sort of, no, this is what you got to do. You got to do this. You got to do that. Yeah. This is wrong. This is right. You know?
Yeah. All art's about communication, but acting's somewhat unique because you're creating art by communicating someone else's artistic vision, and I'm wondering if there's a kind of responsibility with that, you know, and how you approach that. I mean, obviously with this film you say, you know, you've had a continuing relationship, but from an acting perspective, when you feel you're trying to help someone realize that their vision, is that something you give thought to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why the, you know, communication with the director is so important, because you sometimes can miss the nuances, you know, at the beginning, and you really want to understand who he is to really make a clear connection. Acting is about choices, and acting is about listening, and listening to the other actor, but also listening to the director when he has a clear idea of who this guy is. Sometimes your interpretation of it changes his perception of it, and he says, no, I like what you're doing better. You know, no, that's right. That's who, right, Bishop is, because it rings true.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we, you know, James Cagney said about acting. It's really simple. You just walk up to the guy, you look him in the eye, and you tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And it's the truth part that's the hard part. And and so when you're trying to find a character and trying to interpret someone else's vision of a person, you're trying to find the truth. And sometimes the shades of truth that you bring to it take it off the page and make it more satisfying for the writer and the director as what they had envisioned. I've done that before in certain ongoing characters and series where I was able to talk to the writer before we even went into production on the rest of the series about exactly what my character was, and that was very rewarding. In this case, they had a good idea for Bishop, and I understood who Bishop was. I could relate to him. But I think any actor has to bring his own truth to it, or it rings false.
Yeah.
And it just does, it rings like, it doesn't ring like a bell. It doesn't have a bell to it. It's just like a thud.
And that's a really challenging part, as you say, because, I mean, it's hard enough to live your own personal life from a place of truth, but when you're having to do it on a big screen and convey someone else's truth, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it is, but it's about the one thing that's different about acting in front of a camera and in front of an audience is that the only reality that you're dealing with is the other actor in the scene with you. It's not, you're not performing for an audience. That's a trick. That's a translation that some actors have more difficulty with than others, and in both directions. And so that's why I think when you are really engaged with an actor, with the other actor, you're really listening to that other actor. You're really watching in intent on where they are, and you're giving it back. I think that builds the scene. I think in this movie, when James and I did our very first scene, which was in the old building that was under construction, I mean, when we met, you know, and we, that's how the movies are. And it was extremely hot. And, but because of the way Peter and Michael put it together, they wanted us to do a really long master, a much longer master shot than we've usually do. And so it was, I think it was 6 pages long or something. And we just did it as one long, long shot, because with Peter's handheld techniques, we were able to move through 3 rooms and keep the scene going without cutting for the master. And that allowed James and I to really build a momentum, to really be able to listen, to find the nuances in who he was, let me discover who he was, and he could discover who I was. And our relationship is important, because I'm really his only family. And that he has left, and I'm sort of, oddly enough, his base. You know, so that technique really sort of helped in the listening and the developing the relationship, so I really knew who he was.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that. It's been lovely talking to you, and good luck with the film.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's a fun ride. I think the audiences will really like it. They did last night.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my guests this week from the film The Dunning Man. And I think Tom Kemp there is right. It is quite the ride, this film. So it's definitely worth seeing. Well, next, let's hear about how the wonderful soundtrack of the movie came into being.